views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Bill Cundiff.
And Sue's still pointing at us. Oh, there we go.
There you go.
Now it sounds like we're talking. Before, yeah, it just sounded like we were talking to ourselves, because we were. Okay, so, redo. Good afternoon. Welcome to We the People Radio. We're having another episode, as they say. My name is Erin Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff, again.
Although I heard you the first time.
Yeah, but I heard myself.
But I was alone.
Well. Yeah.
The only one.
Our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They're located at 3119 Twin View Boulevard up in Shasta Lake City. Just you can see them there from the freeway. Lots of John Deere products in stock, from mowers to compact tractors. They're also a Honda dealer. They've got Honda products, generators, mowers. Got it all in stock. Go up and see them. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Or you can find them on our homepage at wethepeopleradio.us.
.us, that's
right.
Because
I finally got that all situated.
We got that link up, mm-hmm. So yeah, you can go there and just hook up and see
all
what
ready
got.
To roll.
They got it all. Hey. So there we are.
All right. So today we're, I'm kind of loud.
Well, I've grown used to it. It's, you know,
it's a family problem.
Yeah.
Bill was spared the giant family loudness this year, however. So,
you know, that's the Thanksgiving dinner where everybody talks at the same time. Yeah.
Well, you know, we're not together that often.
And you could actually sit there and talk to yourself and nobody would even
notice. We would butt in.
Nobody, no. You would butt in on yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So we hope you all had a really nice Thanksgiving. We're airing the show the first time on December 1st of 2019, because sometimes we replay them, so I'll give you a little context. We were actually joshing about Thanksgiving, so we hope you had a great time with your family. We are going to move from Thanksgiving, all the happiness and togetherness there is. We are going to move right into the inside issues about Hong Kong and what's going on with China. We hear a lot about it in the news, but we only hear about it for like a minute and a half at a time. We don't seem to learn a lot.
Nope. You'll hear the full story today.
Yeah. So today we thought we would have our guest, Dr. Chen, back on with his friend, Eureka Young. And so let's see. We have had Dr. Chen on several times before. You can find his information on our website at wethepeopleradio.us. Got all of it there. He's been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years. He's founded, co-founded, or been a spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. We have a ton more information. I'm going to skip to the end, though, of his bio, because I hope you'll go back and listen to some of the programs he did where he told us some background about himself. He was born in China in 1962, so he's a year younger than I am. Isn't it great? Isn't it great to be 57, 58?
I wouldn't know.
Although lately it feels more like, you know, we're all senior citizens because the world's gone mad. But at 15, he entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982 to study and received his Ph.D. in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. And his friend, Eureka Young, came from China to the United States as a college student in 1988. After graduate school, he worked first as an engineer and later as an independent consultant providing real-time financial information, retrieval and processing solutions to financial service firms and government agencies. His clients include, Dow Jones and Company, Adobe, Oracle, Banco de Mexico, and Booz Allen Hamilton. Sorry, I got those out of order there. Mr. Young's professional work requires him to stay on top of global, macroeconomic, and geopolitical trends. Starting from 2012, he's been providing analysis and information free of charge to not-for-profit organizations, particularly those with interest in U.S.-China relations. So, got to say, we've got some experts.
Expert.
And we'll kind of let them take it away. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Thanks for coming
on. Good afternoon.
You'll have to...
Very good Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. You'll have to introduce yourselves so people know which voice goes with which person, since we're all talking on the phone here, so we can't see you.
Yeah, this is Shi Zhongqian. I've been on this program a number of times. So I'll let my friend Yurka speak.
This is Eureka Yang, and it's first time I'm on your radio program, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, we're
hey,
glad
thanks
to have
a lot.
You. Absolutely.
We can actually hear you better than Dr. Chen. Maybe Dr. Chen, you could get a little bit closer to your microphone a teeny bit.
Yeah. Is it better now?
Oh, hey, there you go.
Okay. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right. It's just sometimes when we have two people, you know, one is loud, one is soft, and so you know how that goes. Okay, so now we've bridged the technological gap there.
the fine tuning.
We've jumped the shark, as they say. So, where would you guys like to start?
Well, let me first say this: I've been onto this program, partly because the information we covered was vast. So the previous stories wasn't quite as complete as I wished to deliver them. But today, hopefully, we will deliver a complete but complex story, see if we can accomplish this, because there are several events happened in the past couple months, and that they really tie into a very intriguing story that involves Hong Kong and Taiwan and the CCP's overall strategy, its war against the whole world, and then how the free world, particularly the United States, would be best in helping helping Chinese people, at the same time helping itself to end this horrendous war. And so hopefully we will deliver this story in a tight little package. And so I think, our program call for, we should start out with discussing the Hong Kong story. Eureka will have much more detail because he's on top of these things. But the Hong Kong story only come to be known to the public beyond June. In fact, probably after August, when it has escalated to a very large scale. But it really started with a Hong Kong-Taiwan situation. And it has become what it is now, with a lot of, we can only guess, with a lot of manipulation, with CCP's aiming at Taiwan, and that's why you hear a number of congressmen or Senate in their recent debate and discussion on the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act to say that Hong Kong, if we don't do Hong Kong, if we don't win Hong Kong, Taiwan will be the next victim. So they know something but the general public do not know yet, okay, because this has not been well covered. But basically, let me be briefly. that this Hong Kong movement started out as a movement against anti-tradition law, specifically to prevent the CCP willfully taking any Hong Kong citizen to mainland China. Right? And the cause of this was there was a Hong Kong murderer who killed his girlfriend in Taiwan and then escaped or ran to Hong Kong. He's a Hong Kong resident. And there's no extradition treaty between or arrangement between Hong Kong and Taiwan. When Taiwan requested Hong Kong for assistance to solve this homicide case.
Hold that thought, Dr. Chen. We have to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with you.
Sure.
You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
A holiday favorite, It's a Wonderful Life, will be shown at the historic Cascade Theater on Monday, December 23rd. Pack up the family, grab some drinks and popcorn, and enjoy this classic on the big screen. An angel sent from heaven to help a frustrated businessman by showing him what life would be like if he never existed. Tickets available at cascadetheater.org or by calling 530-243-8877.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expression show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 AM Talk Radio.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
And we're back. Okay, sorry for that unceremonious pause there. You can restart right where you are.
Sure. We're talking about this murderer from Hong Kong killed his girlfriend, who was also from Hong Kong, to travel to Taiwan. And after the murder, he escaped back to Hong Kong. And Taiwan tried three times to request for assistance. The Hong Kong side didn't respond. And now, this we can only do analysis, right? But somehow, somewhere, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, must have found its value. And then it started to push this anti-tradition law. That would include, that the law would cover Hong Kong as well as Taiwan. So right away, this become a political issue that has implication in Taiwan. That's the larger picture, right? And this picture has largely been missed, right? Now, does the CCP need this anti-traditional law? Well, in reality, in practice, it really didn't. That's why I say, you know, the Taiwan implication could be very important. Because before this extradition law controversy or confrontation or war right now, the CCP has been going to Hong Kong to arrest Hong Kong residents before. It has happened, right? And so this law would only make that more convenient. That's it. I mean, they don't need it. They have been doing it. And so later on, we'll bring in another story, and that's why this would make it complete. It's a recent defection of Chinese agent to Australia. He personally involved in one of the many, kidnapping of Hong Kong residents to mainland China. So the CCP didn't really need it. And yet, with this murder case happening in Taiwan, it started to push for that. And Hong Kong resident, of course, was already sensitive to the things that the CCP was in Hong Kong. This has a range of background, starting in 2013, and then 2017, and then now 2019. Each case there were a particular legal issue. And now, finally, in June, it broke out into the current anti-tradition movement, anti-traditional law movement. And I will ask Eureka to fill in some of the key events that has led to a lot of tragedies that leads where things are now. Eureka, you want to take over?
For the extradition bill proposed by the special administration in Hong Kong, the government of Hong Kong, it was being discussed early this year, like March or so, and people in Hong Kong they very much understand that China, mainland China, has a weak rule of law, and this lack of rule of law is one of the main causes of trade friction between the United States and China. And while Hong Kong itself is rated very high in terms of economic freedom, and despite the economic growth in the past few decades within China, businesses like U.S. business in China, they experienced the first hand violations of economic freedom within China. And not only that, U.S. businessmen and the other the business people from Europe and from Hong Kong as well, or Taiwan, they understand that violations of economic freedom in mainland China spill over into violations of political freedom, into the space of human rights and freedom of speech, freedom of assembly. So they consider this extradition bill a huge threat. They could be arrested and framed arbitrarily. And one recent event was a staff member of UK's Consulate General was tortured and harassed when he was visiting across the border and visited China. And given his status working in UK's Consulate General in Hong Kong, he even he was like treated with this kind of a diplomatic like status. Even a person with that identity would be abused, severely abused. Then people in Hong Kong, it wouldn't surprise people in Hong Kong that if an average citizen in Hong Kong gets like taken over into mainland, then what treatment they can expect. So that was how the demonstrations started this year.
Now, not to get off the point too quickly, what is their status as far as freedom of speech in Hong Kong? I mean, do they really have open freedom of speech there, or are they pretty locked down by the CCP?
Yeah, and this situations, I believe, have been deteriorating. And the defector who recently interviewed, was interviewed by media in Australia that we're going to get to, he claimed that he was involved in kidnapping of publishers, which relates to freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
In Hong Kong, he was involved in the kidnap of the book publisher into mainland China. Then there's also subjects that you cannot discuss among Chinese media, especially not only in Hong Kong, but the worldwide media just don't touch on those topics. Like examples would include like events in Xinjiang, right? Xinjiang, and I'm glad to see that New York Times started publishing over 20 documents, over 400 pages, documents leaked out from there. So there, and then there's also organizing Dr. Chen was involved, the Conscience Foundation, that he has been advocating a spiritual group, Falun Gong, followers in China who have experienced also severe abuse. So in Hong Kong, topics like these are not widely publicized or discussed. And but on the other hand, there are media. I believe there are a few media outlets in Hong Kong. They are rather outspoken. And in the past few months, they are on the streets reporting the demonstration firsthand. So there is this tug of war in Hong Kong, right? Yeah, there's no like a single statement or a single word that I could describe how the situation is. It's fairly complex, but it is getting worse.
So can I chime in? Just remember we will come back to the Hong Kong topic.
Because I've only got like 2 minutes, and I know you better, so I feel better about cutting you off.
Okay, no problem. Bill asked an excellent question. It actually, to answer the question, we have an answer in terms of principle, but also an answer in terms of practicality or reality. If we turn this question on United States, on America, we can also ask us, do American has freedom of speech? In principle, we do.
It depends on where you are, I guess. If you're at Berkeley, no.
Well, in principle, we still do, right?
Right.
In there, even there. But in reality, do we have them? Well, it's a practical matter, right? When all the news media, or most of them, were controlled by certain group with their own agenda, and as I have always spoken on this, loudly spoken, that news media is not a business. Right? Cannot be treated as just business. It carries public interest. And when our channel, it's not our right, but our channel of freedom of speech is blocked or controlled, then in practice, our right could be there, but you cannot practice it. You don't have it in reality. And that is happening in Hong Kong, but also happening in the United States. If American knows how many media is bought and controlled by the CCP, we will know how and why our freedom of speech is also under attack in big ways.
Right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, can you talk a little bit about how things have changed as far as freedom of speech since the CCP took over Hong Kong, which I think was, 1999? What's the difference between now and then? And we'll be right back.
Look at you, Bill.
Wrong. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
This is Carl in the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40, and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
Pink Martini is returning to Reading's Cascade Theater with singer Chyna Forbes for their all-new holiday show.
Slip a table under the tree.
Pink Martini is a little bit of lounge, a little bit of Hollywood glam, and a whole lot of fun. Don't miss this chance to see them live at the Cascade December 18th. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
And we're back. We're talking about freedom of speech in Hong Kong, and I'm just curious how much it's changed since China took over Hong Kong, and what's the difference between then and now? And I know it's getting worse, but is that something that's just recently been changing, or have they slowly been chipping away at it?
Yeah, they have been slowly chipping it away, and in recent years, the situation got worse, much worse in the past 5 or so years. Prior to the handover of Hong Kong to mainland China in 1997, Hong Kong boasted as one of the with highest degree of press freedom around the world. And after the handover, due to economic, as China's economy grows, and it started to influence Hong Kong media in multiple ways. And for example, they financed television stations. A prominent one named Phoenix is known as, I think it's Phoenix TV. And all, not only that, and they can also influence television stations and the print media by, like, allowing, like, by blocking or directing advertisements to these media. And also during, also the Beijing, I believe, is very capable at influencing editorial board and the selection of chief editors. One example is with the South China Morning Post. This is a very well-known media. It has a long history, and it is like a well-established English media in Hong Kong. And there, around 1997, I think, people working at the China desk in South China Morning Post, they write the reports, and those more outspoken reporters, their reports came under kind of a sort of a censorship, and their editor in chief was like even their editor in chief I think was under pressure of Beijing, and they will decide whether like a report could be published in full, or they want to like cut out sensitive sections of the report.
Mm-hmm.
So that was during the transfer, like in around 1997, and there was one reporter. His name Paul Mooney, and I think he due to his unbiased report, he wasn't able to renew his contract with the paper, and this took place around 2012. And after 2012, not Hong Kong's situation got worse because it is close to China, and in China, the freedom of speech is really like under threat. Although it is an authoritarian government, there was still some leeway that people could discuss issues so as to like advance economic growth, so as to like promote social justice, so that to alleviate the disparity between different social groups, which would actually would help the governance of the country. But even these discussions are coming under very close scrutiny.
Now that they have the ability to monitor people so closely with all of the cameras and those sorts of things,
all the facial
recognition and all that, I would imagine that has enabled them to crack down in a way that they never could have before.
Yes, and these surveillance cameras and also reporters from mainland China and the people with connections with these police and other like law enforcement groups in China, they came into Hong Kong to take pictures, and that's why protesters, they wear masks, right? And then
the special administration
region in Hong Kong, they passed a law that directed like the legislature to pass a law to prohibit protesters from wearing masks, not just the protesters. Everyday people when you're on the street, yeah, they wouldn't allow them to wear masks, yes.
And is that new?
Let me just mention one trick that honest people probably wouldn't even think of how to curtail or control your freedom of expression. That is to threaten those commerce to do
advertisement in media that the CCP didn't like, that would effectively cut off their
funding,
economic means.
Sure.
And this is exactly what happened in the United States to Epoch Times. It's still going on now. The CCP would threaten those shops who, do advertisement with Epoch Times. They'll go to them and then see, if you do this, something would happen to you. And, well,
they firebombed their offices, what, 4 times?
And actually, as part of this Hong Kong confrontation last week, there's some unknown people. We can guess who they are, but they break into, actually more than break, they just basically force their way into Epoch Times printing shop in Hong Kong and burn it.
I think that's the video I just saw just a few days ago. Was it this the one they caught on surveillance? And I guess we should make a note for the people who are looking for real news and full stories rather than, the sanitized stories or actually things that don't cover anything sensible at all. The Epoch Times, Epoch Times, it's like $39 a month. They send out a hard copy paper once a week. They send out digital all the time, actually. You're always available on digital, but it's really worth a subscription, and I believe the first month is like $1. And it would be worth checking out if you find that, some people still like the newspaper, so they still get their local paper, even though there's not a lot going on in there.
A lot of the older people don't do Internet. And what are they doing on Internet? Are they pretty successful at cracking that that code and blocking a lot of sites on the Internet in Hong Kong?
Erica?
Maybe you should pick this over. See if you could.
I was asking if the Internet is censored and if certain sites aren't available in Hong Kong as far as the Internet service.
For the Internet censorship, I think it is the situation is not as bad as in mainland China. But in the recent weeks, in the past few weeks, the developments in Hong Kong, the police forces were besieging Hong Kong Chinese University. And one of the reasons, according to news reports, was that there was a hub, like an internet hub, where the messages were exchanged and they were dispatched. It is one of the hub where information flows into and out of Hong Kong. And the police aimed at cutting off that main channel of information flow. And so now information flow in Hong Kong and the internet access is under severe pressure. I do not have the latest status on whether people are still experiencing any difficulty in getting message out, but so far it seems the protesters, they're still in touch with each other.
Right. I was also curious if that use of the internet, because they can track who's who and your IP address and so forth, and I would imagine that is a bit of a challenge for them. As far as being identified on the internet, are they using the dark web, or are they just openly using the internet to communicate?
Well, the CCP, that's why the CCP is the single biggest incentive or promoter for the VPN services. That service helps people to hide their identity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, of course, the CCP is trying to crack down on that. There are already laws in China prohibiting the VPN, but I'm pretty certain that the United States is researching on how to completely break the CCP's control of internet, the Great Firewall.
Sure.
And of course, if this internet connection can come from the sky, that would be a great deal.
Yeah, no kidding.
And they've got, you know, the CCP now has Google helping them out there too, which is real nice.
Yeah, really lovely.
So.
I've got to take a really quick break here. We'll be right back with our guests, Dr. Chen and Eureka Young.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, profits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Signs, signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, the longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps, to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at wonderlandsigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
Wasn't going to let the Beatles overtake us for a second time. Sorry about the fumble on the play.
Yeah, fumble on the play.
These things happen. All right, so we've got 10-ish minutes until the top of the hour, and thank you for being our hostages the second hour, because obviously this topic is far from over.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, have a field day.
Yeah, so... I was optimistic that we can tell the whole story. Now we're under the threat of time, so I want to move things, several things a little bit to bring the Hong Kong, to summarize the Hong Kong situation a little bit, till right before the passage of the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act in U.S. House and Senate. So from June to November, there was this, Eureka put it nicely, as a controlled raid massacre. Well, I shouldn't say nicely, but succinctly. The situation has escalated in Hong Kong, and yet in news media, well, the CCP make it as a, the rioters are the ones that caused the problem. And fortunately, many media in the international society still cover it more or less accurately, but not comprehensively. And what is going on is this is a controlled raid massacre. What I define it as a kill as needed. To kill to serve its purpose, but only kill as it served the CCP's purpose in the best way. And their attack of a siege of university changed that, alert the international community quite a lot. So that process, I would like to have Eureka to fill in some of the key themes or details. Eureka wants to speak about it?
You're right. I didn't get the exact word, the content to fill in the area that you'd like me to fill in.
Well, what you call the controlled raid massacre. Controlled massacre, or controlled raid massacre. You have put it that way.
Yeah, it's, I have to gauge, the governance, effective governance of an area, by looking over, Communist Party's long history, over 20th century and now into 21st century, they usually take this approach. The first, they will through propaganda, and education, they will young people to grow to become what the term is patriotism, patriotic education. But then nowadays it's mainly nationalistic. Nationalistic education, and the first is education and propaganda. The next step, if people do not buy into that, then the next stage, it goes to economic incentive, to pay for service, in exchange for your paying tribute to the current leadership, or the current set of policies. They give intellectuals prominent status and also good economic status and social status. So that's for free education, education which doesn't cost as much becomes ineffective, then it rolls out economic incentives. Then if this does not work and people do not want go beyond the limits, and they do not want to sometimes they do not want to be associated with people, they even among intellectuals, they think those they do not like to really say things to really praise the leaders that they do not like, right? Then they because there was like this phase of a cultural revolution where intellectuals were like undergoing severe tribulations, and they did not want to like say good words about practices deployed during cultural revolution, so they refused to pay tribute to leaders who are advancing that. A former party boss in Chongqing, Bo Xilai, who was toppled in 2012, he was known to like to promote this type of policy. So then, when time people are not willing, even if you are trying to pay for their service, then the policy would be rolled out like they're going to threat you, right? They're going to implicate your non-compliance or the impact your family member's promotion. So that's the third stage. And if that does not work, then there would be like economic depravity, and there would be like imprisonment, and there would be like harassment. There would be like this would be the next phase. And in Hong Kong, in the past few months, there are reports saying like there was this young girl who was good at the swimming, and she was the last video surveillance camera caught her being like taken off campus. Then a few days later, she was like washed ashore and died. Like she was very good. She was like a swimmer, but then she was
accidental death again.
Yeah. And then there were also reports like people falling off from high rise. But when their body hit the ground, there was no pool of blood. So basically they were dead before they were pushed off the building. And so now we're in this phase that's like education wouldn't work, and the economic incentive wouldn't work, and the threat wouldn't work. Now like we start seeing these called like suicidal death cases. So this is really disturbing, and this is something that we really need to speak out. And because of the police, the task force now appears to be running the show, and so it is very hard to thoroughly investigate these cases. And it is one of the five demands of Hong Kong protesters, that is, they want to form an independent committee to look into overuse of force, and to invite them to look into police.
I'm sure that's a pretty much a bottom of their list of things to do.
Yeah. So that's how the recent deaths are very disturbing.
Do you think the protesters in Hong Kong have a little more leeway than if, say, you wanted to do the same kind of protesting in mainland China?
Of course, because of the international attention. And what do we say in this radio? Although, like, we thought people in Hong Kong probably wouldn't have heard it.
Right.
But because of the attention of international community, and also the support of the public in the United States, reflected in the overwhelming, like, the votes for the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, that's why I believe the 1 million or so, like, law enforcement troops haven't, like, really,
right,
like, got into Hong Kong. Yeah, I think whatever we're discussing, whatever we say, I think our support really matters.
Sure. I think a lot of people here are pretty surprised that the military hasn't jumped in up to this point.
Well, it also seems to be malfunctioning. I mean, the more that they oppress them, the more attention they receive. It appears from here that the protests are getting larger. Let's pick that up on the other side of the hour when we come back. And we really appreciate you guys coming on with us. I really hope people will go on to the website, check out both your bios, look at the Epoch Times. We have a link to them, and consider subscribing. It would be really worthwhile. You'll learn a great deal. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. The holiday shopping season is off to a strong start. Here's correspondent Tim McGuire with more on the story.
It's met expectations.
Retail expert Britt Beamer, head of America's Research Group, says consumers are in a buying mood for the holidays.
Between Thursday afternoon and Friday morning, we had 63% of Americans who looked at some advertising somewhere, and they shopped and bought either in a store or online, which is an all-time high.
Beamer expects the shopping trend to continue. Purchases of big-ticket items, $500 or more, particularly strong this year. There are a couple of downsides. He expects malls to continue to lose in the percentage of sales, and with Christmas being on a Wednesday, the season may not have the grand finale of years past. I'm Tim McGuire.
And to add to all that, hundreds of flights being canceled because of the winter storm sweeping across the U.S., leaving travelers scrambling to get home after Thanksgiving. Flight tracking site FlightAware says there have been 506 canceled flights in the U.S. on Sunday, compared with 407 on Saturday. White House correspondent Greg Clugson reports President Donald Trump pushing for Taliban peace talks once again.
During his surprise Thanksgiving visit to U.S. troops in Afghanistan, the president announced that the U.S. and Taliban have been engaged in peace talks, and he insisted the Taliban want to make a deal. He abruptly broke off peace talks with the Taliban back in September, canceling a secret meeting with Taliban and Afghan leaders at the Camp David presidential retreat after a particularly deadly spate of violence, including the killing of an American soldier. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Iraq's parliament formally accepting the prime minister's resignation, but the path to replacing Adil Abdul Mahdi clouded with legal questions. One lawmaker described a black hole in the Constitution which does not clearly spell out the next step. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Sebastian Gorka here for Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that was formulated by doctors to help your body deal with inflammation and pain. The reason I've told so many of my friends about the 3-week quick start is because as we get older, occasional aches and pains can be a real problem, keeping you from sleeping through the night or doing the things you love and need to do, like taking walks or playing golf, going up or downstairs, or simply playing with your kids or grandkids. Tens of thousands are now like me, glad they ordered the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. After years of back pain, I found relief, and I believe you could too. Folks, this is why the father and son owners of Relief Factor, Pete and Seth Talbot, created the 3-week quick start, and they discounted it to only $19.95. Approximately 70% of those who order it go on to order more. Let's see if we can get you out of pain, too. Go to ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
A new outreach involving Israel and the Palestinian Authority.
Israel seems interested in exploiting an apparent political opening with Hamas by launching a feasibility study for an artificial island. It would have an airport and seaport and be built just off the coast of the Gaza Strip to give a boost to the Palestinian enclave's economy. The idea has been around for a while, but with Hamas having sat out the most recent round of fighting with Israel, apparently preferring to let Islamic Jihad do the heavy lifting, the Israeli Defense Ministry has now signed on. Another prominent feature of the island would be a drawbridge, apparently controlled by Israel, that could be left in the up position if and when relations disintegrate. I'm Lawrence Rifkin, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. eBay is selling StubHub to ticket seller Viagogo for $4 billion in cash.
The transaction is part of a review that eBay undertook earlier this year following pressure from an activist investor. The San Jose, California-based company then said it was also reviewing options for its classified ads business. eBay bought StubHub in 2007 for $310 million. Both StubHub and the classifieds business each brought in less than 10% of eBay's total revenue last year. The addition of StubHub will allow Viagogo to sell tickets in more than 70 countries and give buyers access to a wider selection of tickets.
That's correspondent Jeremy House. A bear has been blamed for a pair of vehicle break-ins at an Alaska airport parking lot that resulted in thousands of dollars in damage to one car. The vandalism occurred at the Island Air Terminal parking lot adjacent to the Kodiak Benny Benson State Airport. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good afternoon, and welcome to We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff. And our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for anything in the way of a tractor or mowing equipment, go see them. They're up at 3119 Twin View Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. They got lots of stuff in stock. They're also a Honda dealer. They have lots of generators on hand. If the power goes out, we're having some pretty nice weather here lately, so if the power does go out, go up and see them. They've got lots to choose from up there. Their phone number is 226-9226, or you can get them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And if you don't want to remember all that, you can go to wethepeopleradio.us, and it's right there.
There it is.
Boom.
Click on their site and on their ad, and you'll go right to them.
Exactly. Okay, so I'm not going to dilly-dally here. We have Dr. Chen and his friend Eureka Young on with us. We're talking about Hong Kong and, I guess more broadly, the issues of what happens when the government rolls in and decides what you can say, what you can think, where you can go. And the Chinese Communist Party is something we'll refer to a lot in this program. And they'll always say CCP, and sometimes people are like, what the heck is CCP? Chinese Communist Party is the reference there. So, guys, where would you like to go this hour?
So, I would like to first summarize the Hong Kong situation and then introduce very relevant, surprising incident that happened last week that will help us to look beyond or from Hong Kong incident and beyond what it is and see the world stage. So the many people worried Hong Kong will develop into a June 4th massacre. It already is. But the reason that we don't feel it is exactly because what Eureka has called it a controlled rate massacre. If we look at this siege of two universities in Hong Kong, the Chinese University in Hong Kong, the Ab University in Hong Kong, and the Polytechnic University, the two universities in Hong Kong. Not even in 1989 June 4th massacre in mainland China that the Chinese army has attacked or sieged any university in mainland China. So in comparison, the CCP has gotten much bolder than in Beijing 30 years ago. What prevented the outright massacre is Hong Kong's economic position. Now, in terms of number of arrests and people killed, it's already close to in 1989, right? Available information says 6,000 Hong Kong resident has been arrested, and the British consulate staff who was arrested in China Erica has mentioned on top of the first half program, he witnessed a large number of Hong Kong protesters being detained in Hong Kong, in Shenzhen. This proves, as I said, you know, that the CCP didn't need an extradition law. They're doing it already. With or without this law, 6,000 has been sent to mainland China where there's no law. I mean, we have no idea how much they have suffered. Many of these people who have been reported being suicide, you know, what we Chinese call being suicide, probably are victims of the torture and killing, right? But the CCP is doing it in such a way that it controls the severity of it. So to the people that the threat is real, but to Western media, to the outside world, it's not as bad as June 4th massacre. And this is the danger of the controlled rape massacre. Kill as they need it. And this is very similar to another approach of the CCP, the organ harvest against Falun Gong practitioners. You know, Falun Gong practitioners were detained. They were killed as the organ is needed. But let me introduce another topic. This is closely related to this Hong Kong confrontation. Is the last week there's a Chinese agency called Wang Lixiang or William Wang, who defected to Australia government in April, but only came out publicly to disclose the things he was involved in conducting the CCP's business in Hong Kong as well as in Taiwan and in Australia. The information he disclosed proved to a large extent of what we have talked about, the larger plan, the larger plot by the CCP. So Eureka has more information on this William Wang and how its impact and some of the interesting story. So Eureka, you want to speak about it?
Yeah, about William Wang Lixiang. And this is a pseudonym used in intelligence circle, as like a lot of Chinese agents, they have their pseudonyms. One well-known example is the son of Marshal Ye Jianying. Marshal Ye was involved in negotiation of during the Marshall mission. Like it was prior to 1949, communist takeover of mainland. He was involved in negotiating with the U.S. delegates, the delegation, as well as the nationalists. And his son was in military intelligence. And his son's real name was Ye Xuanming, but he used a pseudonym, Ye Feng. And they used many pseudonyms in different occasions. Then they have a kind of a well-known one, like established pseudonym. So this is Wang Lixiang. Claimed that he is using this name as a pseudonym as well. And interestingly enough that he reported to someone who is based in Hong Kong. And another you may say it is coincidental, is a well-known CFO of a Huawei telecommunications company. And their CFO was based in Hong Kong as well, who was arrested when transiting in Canada to Argentina like about a year ago. I believe it was exactly, today is the anniversary of Hmong one, Joe Sabrina Hmong, to arrest last year when she was like traveling from China to Argentina. And she is based in Hong Kong. A lot of agencies were well connected with Chinese with military background. They set up the front shops in Hong Kong. So this Wang Yichang came up with a story on how he was associated with his boss, whose name is Xiang Xin. It could very well be another pseudonym. And he was teaching his boss's wife how to paint the painting, like oil painting, as far as I remember. Then he was very close to the couple. And so this time he came out in met media in Australia, and the couple who Mr. Wang claimed were his boss and the boss's wife, they were visiting Taiwan, and the couple were engaged in infiltrating Taiwan and influencing Taiwan's upcoming election. And the couple denied that they even know Mr. Wang. But then a picture came out. Taiwan authorities presented a picture with the three of them, like in the same setting. So this is more or less the background of this defector.
Wow. Hold that thought. We're going to come right back. We've got to take a quick break. You are listening to We the People. You can find all the information about today's show and our guests at wethepeopleradio.us.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I sing this song to Bill all the time.
It doesn't do any good.
But I can't read his mind, just for the record. Okay, let's go back to Australia and the quote-unquote spy. Or not.
Erica, you're there? Oh, yeah, I'm here. Basically, that was the, how, this, this Mr. Wang came to the public to tell his story. And it also gave us a glimpse of how the impact of the National Intelligence Act of 2017 that was like put into effect by the National Congress in Beijing. And according to Article 7 of that National Intelligence Act, all the Chinese nationals, like whether they're within China or they're overseas, they are supposed to support intelligence gathering. And this has made the, it's really kind of now the government in Beijing is operating in this new territory of all its nationals are like obligated to provide intelligence. And the Chinese officials, of course, they deny that they have to do these. They deny that. But the denial was never like outright saying like Chinese citizens are under no obligation. Like it was never clear cut. And there are ways that like they will influence. It's also, even in Australia, reports came out like in recent years that Chinese students studying in Australia, they are organized through this student association, and the leaders of these Chinese student associations, they report to embassy and the consulate officials. So it is through this hierarchy of management Chinese students are organized, and if they this also comes back to like our freedom of speech, right? If a student makes a comment on Hong Kong unfavorably toward the Beijing or the special administration regions like a government in their handling, in the overuse of a police force or that, then this whole, through this hierarchy, the student's words and his comments will be documented and it will be on file. So this surveillance has come out, actually, has expanded, not just for people within China, even for people, Chinese people, like overseas, now they have this kind of threat. And Australia is one place, and the United States, we have these similar student associations. We have Confucius Institutes, right? Confucius Institute. And in Canada, that there was this organized parade that people like driving like sports cars, like fancy cars, and with Chinese flags and all that, and try to harass like Hong Kong students and all that. So it is through this hierarchy, strictly like managed hierarchy, and with many of these people running the network, actually serving the Chinese intelligence community. So that's how its overseas operations are being carried out. So I think, Sudo, maybe you can take over from here. I would just give him some background information. Yeah, so among other things William Wang has done was to influence the 2018 election. It was a very large election, national election below the federal level. All the counties, cities, and
the CCPE won or decided support affiliate with the CCP won a big way. And he disclosed how that was manipulated from the CCP side. He also substantiated the CCP's underground manipulation in Hong Kong, including arresting people, book publishers. He was personally involved in one of them. And then also he disclosed the Asian network in Australia. So many people, you know, many common commentators was very surprised by the amount of information that's disclosed, which is surprising, but even more surprising to me, right, is how this is a very young person. He's 27 years old. And many people claim that he's a small-time operator, being so young. From his education, he was not a traditional or typical. He didn't really have the professional spy training. There's one thing I need to add. That as soon as he spoke to the public, the CCP side came out with several court documents showing that he was a criminal in China, basically trying to discredit him. Well, unfortunately, his name, Wang Lichang, is a pseudonym. That's not his real name.
Mm-hmm.
So this calls into question how the Chinese court document was
yeah, how did they get prepared? A court document with the guy's fake name on it? Oops.
But anyway, so what I think what caught my eye is something not about how small time he is. It particularly if it's a small time operator, then we need to look at why he has this large impact. And then, more than that, how many of these small time operators are there?
Yeah.
So, this brings out a very serious topic. That is, how the CCP has weaponized the whole Chinese population to be its soldier, pawn, or agent in carrying out its agenda against the whole world. In previous program, we talked about the Thousand Talent Program and how the Chinese has used Chinese business to infiltrate this country, right? And so there's this theme that now with Wang Lichang's defection, hopefully the world will start to see. And I just want to quickly summarize a very, very rough summary of how the Chinese or Communist Party has weaponized the Chinese people. Erica already mentioned some of it, a little bit of it. Violence and coercion to subdue people's conscience so they would act against their conscience is one way. And then I often characterize the CCP's ruling as rule by deception. Its propaganda and mobilization machine is one that the world has yet to recognize. And that machine has come to this country. It has a lot of media here.
I was just going to say, how much of it do you? I would be really interested to know. We've take a quick break again. When we come back, I'd like to know what, as you guys are watching what's happening in the United States, how reminiscent is it of what's happening in China? And I would imagine it's fairly scary, because the more we learn from you, the more we look at our own media differently. We'll be right back with our guests, Dr. Chen and also Eureka Young. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/changethe culture.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is a safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Surveillance songs from the olden days. I guess we were being warmed up for the whole idea. So how much of what's going on in the U.S. is like the baby steps toward what we're seeing in Hong Kong and also in China?
Much more than you are willing to, you want to know.
I'm going to say that.
The media purchase and control, covert operation, we, unfortunately, those information are not completely known. I hope the United States is paying attention to that. Well, I know they're paying attention now, but when they start to pay attention to, I don't know. And when will those information be known to us? I don't know. But only from scattered information, we can already know that it's very, very severe. The stealing, the controlling, the propaganda, okay? So let me put it this way, okay? The CCP has already weaponized the Chinese nationals, or the original from China, maybe they're real citizens now. They weaponize its subject or its population in the large ways against other countries' interests for a long time. For its scale, for its pervasiveness, the systematic way they're doing things, such things, should be viewed, and it really is, right, should be viewed as an undeclared war against the world. The CCP's undeclared war against the world. And the CCP has a term for this kind of war. The Chinese is called the Chao Xian Zhan. Well, if I would translate that into English, it would be the war without bottom line, with no bottom line. Basically, anything goes, right? So this war, the CCP has been conducting for the past 30 years, well, minimum 20 years. And we are far from realizing it. This war is actually conducted by the Chinese military. I will ask Yurika to fill in how this command was structured. This war command is structured. The so-called National Security Commission. Right. Yurika, you want to fill in the some of the details?
Yeah. The this Chao Xian Zhan in Chinese, meaning exceeding war, exceeding any limits. And a prominent China expert, Michael Pillsbury, who works in the as advisor to Secretary of Defense, he started his long career in the intelligence community. He described this as asymmetrical war. Due to the predominant military power of the United States, and back in as early as 1990s, Chinese military figured that to fight the United States, it would be hard if send out warships, send out airplanes. And I believe Chinese military had a hard time building jet engines themselves. So they decide they need to find out an alternative to confront the United States. So they came up with this idea of asymmetrical war. And this got strengthened, this approach, in recent years. And Mike Pillsbury has been engaged with Chinese military commanders over the past few decades, and recently he had been more outspoken. He published a well-known book, The 100-Year Marathon, that described the ultimate goal of the Chinese military, and it's his side of the story. And he was one of the early alarmists who understood the danger of this asymmetrical warfare. And in recent years, for example, in the past 5 or so years, there was this National Security Committee formed in China, which oversees a lot of sectors. Those are it oversees military under the name of National Security. It oversees state security, It oversees, like, financial security. It oversees all the possible disturbances that could come up, like, across the country, including northwestern part of the country, Xinjiang, autonomous region. So all these explosive issues or touch issues are under the portfolio of this National Security Committee. And it is through, so it has military arm of it, it has state security arm of it, and stretching up and coming down from this hierarchy, that when it extends to its overseas operations, if these orders are being carried out, like diplomats, right, by leaders of the student associations, and also like people like Wang Liqiang, who are like sent out like by these intelligence agency, and who reports that these intelligence officials ultimately they report to this National Security Commission. So that's the general outline of the hierarchy. Now back to you, Michael.
The head of that committee or commission is the CCP Secretary General Xi Jinping. And so that's where it came from. Right? It's from top to bottom. And it's earlier I said this is an undeclared war against the world, particularly for the leader in military technology as well as economic inventions, scientific inventions. But this is also undeclared war against the Chinese people. So Eureka said any people, you know, have any discontent thought would be dealt with severely by this national security force or machinery. And so this brings up a situation where a large number of Chinese citizens or nationals are both the victim as well as pawn or agent of the Chinese Communist Party. They are victims because their rights, their, you know, their life has been, you know, has suffered the oppression by this regime. But meanwhile, large number, I'm talking about millions and millions of Chinese people, wittingly or unwittingly has been acting as Chinese or the CCP agent. And they act like this for one reason or another, out of their fear, out of their, you know, economic interest, or out of their control through this propaganda, the CCP propaganda of nationalistic hatred, and many, many different manipulation, right? And they became this non-soldier army, right? And this is a new threat. This is a threat that the world has to come to realize and think about how to handle it. Because the Chinese people are not necessarily their army. Not necessarily their enemy, but they're on their land. We have millions of Chinese in the United States. So Pompeo and Secretary Pompeo and Vice President Pence both have said as recently, separate the CCP from China. Right? This is a important improvement from our past administrations, but that's not enough yet.
Just because they're recognizing it, it's important.
Yeah, recognizing this is important. It's very important.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like it's been really talked about or acknowledged in the past. I think this is becoming much more a bit more of a mainstream idea. I mean, heck, we're talking about it. Let's take a really quick break here so we don't run you guys up to the top of the hour with all of our celebrations of capitalism here. So we'll take a little quick break. We'll be back with our guests. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. You can knock me down and watch me bleed, but you can't keep no chains on.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, profits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Riverfront Playhouse presents A Christmas Carol by Christopher Sharrow, adapted from Charles Dickens and directed by Jennifer Levins, November 23rd through December 21st. With an intimate cast and ethereal presentation, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story of redemption and the lesson that giving isn't just a seasonal affair. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store running or at the door. A Christmas Carol, November 23rd through December 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse, sponsored by Tri-Counties Bank.
Pink Martini is returning to Reading's Cascade Theater with singer Chyna Forbes for their all-new holiday show. Flip a table under the tree. Pink Martini is a little bit of lounge, a little bit of Hollywood glam, and a whole lot of fun. Don't miss this chance to see them live at the Cascade December 18th. Get tickets now at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Okay. So, in our last, 10 minutes, I know we'll have you guys on again in the future because obviously, again, we didn't get to everything. But
one last question I had was recently there was an election over in Hong Kong.
Oh yeah.
And we heard a little bit about it, but the concern was, what do you think the CCP's how are they going to react to that election?
Yeah, this is the last topic I want to bring this story into completion also. Last minute, I tried to compress everything into this last 10 minutes. That is this election, as well as just before the election, there was this passage of the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act by the House and by the Senate. I won't have time to get into how this act was actually delayed. Most likely by the interest of the Wall Street. But anyway, it finally got passed and signed by President Trump. and that just before the election. Right? I'll come back to the election. I want to say why this itself is very significant. We probably didn't realize this is the first act or bill that relate to human rights or democracy anywhere in China for the past 30 years. Right? China has been the single biggest violator of human rights. And yet, for the past 30 years, the U.S. didn't take any real meaningful act that has teeth. And this is the first one. And I don't have time to go into it, how this was delayed, how this was really coming into being, because Hong Kong's economic position, or U.S. economic interests in Hong Kong. But basically, the United States actually faced two problems, realizing one but not the other. Right? So thanks to President Trump, the United States finally stood up against the CCP in the area of economics, started beating them back. But that only stopped the CCP advancement in one area, the economic exploitation. The bigger half of the problem is the CCP's undeclared war. And they're using, they're weaponizing the Chinese nationals to harm other nations. And there's really no legislative tool or other tools against that, right? Because the number is so large. And so it should be obvious the solution is to support the righteous. When the world make it clear that the world will stand for principle, those Chinese people who were forced into act against their conscience will be encouraged by the world's righteousness. And this is what happened. For the first time in 30 years, the only time and the first time, the United States passed something that's meaningful. And that gave Hong Kong people the courage, a hope, right? And interestingly, for the past month or two, the Hong Kong police has been denying Hong Kong people's application for parade or for demonstration. Yesterday in Hong Kong, we're a day behind, there's Sunday in Hong Kong. Hong Kong people once again apply for permission of demonstration, and this time in the name of celebrating the United States passage and signing of Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act. And the Hong Kong police gave them the permission. And this in itself is very significant. I hope this tells our politician that not only we need to protect our own economic interests, but if we stand up and to support the Chinese people, who will they themselves do the right things, then it will help a lot of people getting away from doing the wrong things against the United States. That solved the other half of the problem. And there's that's the best way. And the happiness out there, what the United States needs, right? Falun Gong, for the past 20 years, has been standing up for conscience. And Falun Gong has been a single group that has been persecuted most severely. And as yet, as now, the United States has not spoken up for Falun Gong. And yet, that is one group that has spoken very consistently and loudly on the rights, on the righteousness of people. And I hope that we take a lesson, we take what has been shown right away, this act, its impact, it's powerful, how powerful it is, and learn from there what's the right path for this nation to help China and then help itself.
I'm curious when how I don't know how to even ask the question. How on guard are you when you meet new people who have come here to the U.S. from China? Do you kind of assume everybody's a spy?
Well, I am not guarded, but I'm not naive. It's just I don't really care what I just tell them the right thing. If they listen, then I believe what I gave them is truth, the facts, and help them. And I have no fear. I really have no fear of being harmed by them. I just don't. But I know the CCP, their scheme, and I've been speaking about their scheme all these years. And so, I've met a lot of Chinese people, and I have been speaking like what I have spoken here.
And so you don't have to, really in the position that you're in now, you don't have to worry that they're kind of creeping up on you and they'll hurt your relatives and that sort of thing?
Well, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Well, but then there's that. That's
if
true.
If I fear, then yeah, my fear wouldn't
win.
Help me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's
my
true.
Fear would not help me.
And so, getting back to the election, do you think this new fellow that got voted in is going to get kind of the strong arm laid on him to try to get everything back in line, or do you think they'll let him speak?
It depends on the world, depends on them. I view this as as I described, the CCP has declared, it has this undeclared war of no bottom line against the world. And the only way for the world to counter is to do something with bottom line. So it's a war of bottom line versus no bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're in this, the side with bottom line is one entity. And so it's the totality of that, the positive force. I'm sure those people who were elected in, if they don't, they will not stand up for what they elected for. They would not jump into this election in the first place. They took a lot of risk.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I'm sure they'll do
not
what
like
they
it's
do.
A surprise.
But they need help. But they need world help.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to be recognized for what they're trying to do and supported, for sure.
Well,
they
really
need to be recognized as one of ourselves, not them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good point. Good point, because there for the grace of God goes this country. Thank you for sounding the warning call and for giving us all this great information, you guys. I hope people will go on and listen to the show and send it to your friends and your relatives. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us. Thank you so much, and I'm sure we will speak with both of you again. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you.
Okay. The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.